Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yivama's Daf Samach. We are holding on Nun Tes Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Brais. We're going to learn about a Kohen Gadol, about whom the Pasuk says, Kiim, Besula Me'ama V'yikach Isha. A Kohen Gadol may only marry a Besula, an Isha whose Besulim membrane is still fully intact, as opposed to an Isha who already had an experience with a man. Now what happens if her experience involved this very man, this Kohen Gadol? Anusas Asmai, Umafutas Atzmai. This Kohen Gadol was involved in a relationship. He physically interacted with this Isha, whether it's through Oynes, by force, through pitui, by coercion, by convincing her. So what happens in this case? On the one hand, she is no longer a basula, but it was as a result of her interaction with him. Says the Braisa, it doesn't matter. Lo yisa, he may not marry her. Fact is, she is not a basula. But b'di'evet, v'im nasa, if he did marry her, nasui, the marriage holds. That's only in this case. But anusas chaveroi, umafutas chaveroi. If she had an experience with a man who was someone other than this Kohen Gadol, in this case, of course, lo yisa, the Kohen Gadol cannot marry her. She's not a besula. V'im nasa. Suppose he did marry her, and they had a child. What is the halacha of that child? What's his status? We have a machlekes. Rebbe Lez, Ben Yaakov Omer, Havalad Cholol. This child is a cholol. He's a pasul, unfit for kahuna. He's an offspring of a forbidden marriage. V'chachamim Omer, Havalad Kosher. In this case, the vlad, the child, is unaffected, and the Gemara will explain the machlekes. Let's go back to the first case. Im nasa nasi. Kohen Gadol approached the Isha, with whom he interacted through Oynes, through Pitui, married her. Nasui, it's done. They stay together. Amar Abhuna Marav, no, they don't stay together. Umaytzi beget. He has to issue a get to the Isha. He has to divorce her. What do you mean? Velahadik Tani, im nasa nasi. You just told me, but the evidence of marriage, which sounds like it's fine. Amar Achabar Yaakov, no, of course not. When we say imnasa nasa, all we mean to say is, okay, he has some benefit. He saves some money by having married her. Loimar means to say she'in mishalim knas b'mafuta. Typically, if one is mefata an isha to interact with him as married, he has to pay a knas. He's penalized if he refuses to marry her. In this case, he was pretty fine marrying her. In fact, he tried. He did. So that exempts him from the knas. But of course, he can't stay married to her because at the point of marriage, she was no longer a besula. That's the chiddush of Rav Huna in the name of Rav. So what happened? Ozal Rav Gevir. Rav Gevir went along. Mibei Kossel. He was from the town of Kossel. Amr l'shmata. He related this halacha. Which halacha? Rav Huna's chiddush. That he has to divorce. He told it to Kamei de Rav Ashi. Ravashi, and he reacted with opposition. Amar Lehi says, what do you mean? How could you say that? V'harav, v'rav yechnon. They both said, Amri tavayu, boigeres umukas eitz. Although a Kohen Gadol must keep away from a boigeres, as we learned yesterday, Anisha was already 12 and a half years old, in which case her basulim had been somewhat loosened and disrupted. Her girth is no longer considered completely closed. Umukas eitz. Anisha, whose basulim membrane were disrupted through an instrument. In both cases, lo yisa, true. L'chatchila, don't marry. V'im nasa nasa, but b'di'evet, it works. Why? Alma, apparently, we have an interesting svar here. It was going to happen regardless. We're not speaking that she interacted with somebody in a forbidden manner. We're not speaking about a divorcee, a grusha, almana. We're speaking about an isha who just, in a physical sense, is lacking the psulim material, right? That was going to happen regardless through marriage with this very Kohen Gadol, right? Alma, we see an interesting thing here. Soifa liyos bageres tachtav. Soifa liyos mukas eitz tachtav. It's just an expression. It means to say that whatever she has now was going to happen regardless in the future through marriage with this kohen gadol. Her besulim were going to be disrupted by being with him physically. And therefore, we say, b'diyavad, okay, just hold on to her. Hachanami, here as well, by the oines, by the mafate. That was going to happen regardless, meaning through marriage, she was going to interact with him as married, right? So this condition can't stand in the way of marriage to the extent that he has to divorce her. It's good for b'di'evet, hachanam here as well, by the oines b'mefate, through the kohen gadol himself. Soifa liyos bu'ulat hachtav. What's the deficiency? What are we concerned about? That she's a bu'ula? She interacted with a man as married? With whom? With this fellow. Which was going to happen regardless through marriage with him. So Rashi says, he could be Makai, he could hold on to her because Hailula Atzmai Nivala. Since that experience happened with none other than himself. V'seif aliyas bulalai. In any case, this was going to happen through marriage with him. So this doesn't really impede this marriage. And we say, b'di'evet, if he married her, he holds on to her. And this is not like Rav Huna, who says, u'moitzi b'get. No. When the Braisa says, im nasa nasa, it means literally. B'di'evet, once he marries, we leave it alone. This is a kasha Rav Huna, who seemed to quote Rav in a different manner. And here we have Rav and Rav Yechon both saying otherwise. Kasha, indeed, this is a kasha on Rav Huna, how can he say that a get is required? Continues the Gemara. Let's move on to the next halach. Anusas chaveroi, mufutas chaveroi, lo yisa. But if she had an experience with somebody else, other than the kohen gadol, of course the kohen gadol cannot marry this woman. She is no longer a besula. There's a mitzvah asay, right? He meant to marry a besula. Don't marry her. But b'di'evet v'imnas, and there's a child. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, havlad chalal. Havlad is a chalal. A child born from a usher interaction. V'chacham Omer, havlad kosher. In this case, the child is unaffected. What's the point of the machlekes? So firstly, Omer Rav Huna Amar Rav. Once again, Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Halacha ker Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. The halacha follows Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, that what? That the child born in this situation is indeed a chalal, which is typical procedure for a child born from a mismatch involving psulei kehuna, right? V'chein omar av gidlo marav, same thing, halacha, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Ikadamri, there was another version of what Rav Huna says. He was explaining the reason behind Rav Lezer's shita. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, my time under Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Why is it that child is a cholol? Savala ker Rav Lezer, because Rav Lezer ben Yaakov follows the same line as Shitas Rav Lezer, discussed later on. He holds that if even an unmarried man, an unmarried woman interact as married, the Isha now is considered a zoyna. And a zoyna, of course, is asur to marry a kohen. Even a regular kohen may not marry a zoyna. There's a law, right? Isha, zoyna, almana, grusha, v'chalal, zoyna. They're not allowed to marry a zoyna. It's a law, and a child born from a law situation is a chalal. How can that be that Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, who says chalal in our case, holds like Rav Lezer, any type of improper interaction, makes her a zoyna? Umi savala kavase, is that true that one holds of the other? V'kaimlan. We have a tradition that Mishnas Rav Lezer ben Yaakov kavanoki. It's only very, very few times in Shas that we have a halacha presented by the Tana, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. It's kav, it's a small measure. Few and far in between. V'noki, but it's clean, it's reliable, it's authoritative. But when it comes to the chiddush of a belezer over there, that every situation creates a zoyna, we don't paskin like that. Amar Amram, Amar Rav, Ein Halacha Rabbi Elazar. So how can you say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is based on Rabbi Elazar when we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar, but we always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Kasha, indeed, this is a difficulty that we have a hard time resolving. If we're going to link the two shittas, it doesn't really work out. So what then is the rationale behind the machlekes in our case, where a kohen gadol marries a non-besula, and they have a child? Is it a chalal? Is it not? What's the basis for the machlekes? Rav Ashi Omar, I'll explain. Marrying a non-besula is transgressing a mitzvah's asay. Marrying a grusha, a chalala, a zoyna, that's a lav. Don't do that. When it comes to besula, Pasuk says, Kiim besula me amav yigach isha, marry a besula. None other than a besula. So marrying someone other than a besula is transgressing a mitzvah's asay. It's a transgression, but it's a lower level of error. Does that situation, that a child born in that circumstance, is he considered a chalal? That's a machlekes. B'yesh chalal mechayav yaseh kamiflagi. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savar, yes. Yesh chalal mechayav yaseh. Even in this situation, a child is a chalal. V'rabbono savri ein chalal mechayav yaseh. What's this machlekes based on? How we expound on the psukim. My time with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, dechsev. Almana ugrusha v'chalala zoyna es eilu loikach kiim besula, and the pasuk continues besula me'ama v'ikach isha. Then the pasuk says, well, all these types of interactions which result in a child creates a chalal. Child is unfit for kahuna. He's blemished. He's tainted. Uksiv v'lo yichalal zari b'yama. Be careful. Don't marry a grusha and almana because that child is going to be a chalal. So kontra b'lezer akulu. This warning, this ramification, applies to all types of deviations. Almana, grusha, chalala, zoyna, and even to the mitzvah saseh of sticking to a besula. And therefore a non-besula creates a chalal. Rabbanon say no. Realize that the pasuk puts in the word eila. If we go back a minute, three lines back, almana, grusha, chalala, zoyna, es eila lo yikach. And then the pasuk concludes with the mitzvah saseh of besula. Why does the pasuk sort of intersect with the word eila? Rabbanon eila is hifsek inyan. By doing so, the pasuk is dividing. Chalal only relates to the aforementioned deviations, almana, grusha, chalal, zayna, but not to the one mentioned afterwards, i.e. besula. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omar, sure, eila is coming to exclude something, not besula. Rather, lemute nida. Rashi says, in bo koyin al ishte nida, if he interacted with his wife nida, that child is not a chalal. But a non-besula is. Keman ozla hodasanya, in accordance with whom will the following brisa tell us that the word me'ela is coming to tell you me'ela ata oisa chalal, vi ata oisa chalal minida? All these types of mismatches create a chalal, but not nida. Who's speaking? We're only excluding nida. Keman, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who held likewise that Eila is only excluding a nida, but not a besula. Asks the Gemara one kasha here. For Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if so, nichtave le'ela l'basoif. According to him, all those women, almana, grusha, chalal, zoyna, and even a non-besula, are all in the same boat. Interacting with them creates a chalal. The word eila is just trying to exclude the nida, which is not even mentioned here. Shouldn't that word be all the way at the end? All the aforementioned, including besula, create chalal. And eila, just these, as opposed to something else, the nida which is unmentioned. Rather than put eila right in the middle of the list, which would sound like it's splitting the list into two, kasha, indeed, this is an unresolved kasha. So bottom line is, Kohen Gadol must marry a besula. What about anusas atzmai, the isha with whom he personally interacted in an oines circumstance? V'chatchila no, but the evidence works. He certainly doesn't play the knas. We passed him that he could hold on to her. Rav Huna had a chiddush that he has to divorce. And we left it as a kash. If this isha is anusas chaveroi, in that case, even b'diyeved, it's asr. What about the child resulting from that interaction? According to Rabbanan, Vlad is kasher. According to Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov, it's a halal. We have two pshatim, either because he holds that it's a zayna, or he holds that even a chayav yaseh interaction creates halal. Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Emor tells us as follows. I'll just read the pasuk from the side of the Gemara. V'lachoysa yabesula hakroy ve'elav asher loyhoysa le'ish lo hitam. We're speaking about a kohen hedyot. Typically, you can't become tame even in order to tend to the burial of a mace. But if it's a close relative, such as achoysa yabesula, his sister who's still a besula, did not interact with anybody. Kroiva Eila, Ashaloy Haisala Ish. She's close enough to, you have to look after her, become tummy to tend to her burial. Tanu Rabbanan, what about Achoysi Ha'arusa? She's your sister, but she's already engaged to somebody else. Not married, but engaged. Is she included or not? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yuda Aimrim, Metamila. She is included. Because she's still in a pre-marriage state. She's still close enough to you. Not yet. Not yet. In a relationship with somebody else. Rabbi Yaitzi, Rabbi Shimon, Aymrim, no, ain't metamila. No, she's already engaged to a strange man. No longer allows for you to become tummy to take care of her. Now, Anusa Mufuta, in these two cases, she's no longer a besula, which is a requirement here, right? Achoyse besula. Divra Akoyle, all agree. Ain't metamila. She's excluded. Umugas Eitz. Interesting, Shaila. What about if she's lacking Besulim, but not by way of interacting with somebody, rather through some sort of instrument which disrupted the Besulim? Ein Matamilo, here as well, she's excluded. Divrei Rav Shimon. Why? Shaila Rav Shimon Aimer. He set forth the following formula. Ru'uyag l'kayin gadla Matamilo. An isha who is suitable, a suitable candidate for a kohen gadol, i.e. a besula, she fits the bill. She is considered a true besula, which allows her brother to take care of her. She ain't really kohen gadol, ain't matamila, but she's unsuitable for the kohen gadol, such as a mukas eitz, which is Reb Shimon Shita, by the way, right? Made yesterday, mukas eitz, may not marry a kohen gadol. She's no longer a besula, and therefore the kohen hedyot cannot be matamiter. What about Ubay Geras? She's past 12 and a half. In which case, her Basulim are not really 100% intact. Metamila, in this case, she's included. Divrei Kol Adam, Divrei Akol. All Shitas agree as such. So we have two Machlekes. Sister who's been engaged to somebody else. Rabbi Rabbi say, included. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Shimon say, not included. The second case is Mukas Eitz. An unofficial removal of Besulim, does that affect her? According to Reb Shimon, yes. Now we're going to go through Besukim, actually this one pasuk here, and break it apart, take it apart, and figure out what, why, and how. My time with the Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda. Where are they coming from, that a sister who's merely engaged to somebody is off limits? The Dar Shihachi, they're based on the following pasuk. V'lachoy se'a Besula. Besula means prat la'anusa, mafuta. Since she encountered a man, she lost her psulim, she lost the status of psul. Okay, so she's out. Yochel shani moitziyach mukas eitz. Perhaps I'll exclude even an isha who had her psulim artificially removed. Tamad loyma ashaloy hoysel ish. We're concerned that she has not encountered a man. That's all. But not through an instrument. Misha have a yos aide ish. Only an isha who had her status changed by way of interacting with a man. Is considered affected. Yotze Azu, as opposed to the Mukas Eitz, who never had that experience. Shein Ava Yosai De'ish. Her experience was not related to an encounter with a man, and therefore she's not excluded. The word Hakroiva is a riboy, to include the rabbis Ha'arusa. Ah. So according to them, even an Arusa, a sister who was merely engaged with a stranger, she's considered close enough to you, which allows you to become tummy. The word a love, again, is a riboy, the rabbis have a geras, even she's okay. Why do we need a pasuk to include by Geras? Why would I think she's excluded? Halam alikra. Va'amar Rav Meir. Rav Meir himself tells us yesterday, a Begeris is a perfect basula. When it says a Kohen Gadol marries a basula, I feel it mixes basula mashma. Even not 100% basula, even a Begeris is included. So why would you think to exclude her from the Tuma privileges? Istrich, there is a need for a pasuk here. Sakadai dechamina, perhaps I would say, Nelef. Besula, besula miyasam will draw Xer Shava using the words besula from there. What's there? Says Rashi on the bottom line. Ki yimatze ish nara besula. We have a case. We encountered a nara besula, and they were speaking about a nara dafka, not a begeris. Mala halo nara, just as over there, it's a nara, pre begeris state, when her besula fully intact. Afkan begeris, afkan nami nara here as well. You need a nara, as opposed to begeris kamash milon. That's why you need an extra word in the pasuk elav to be marbet to include begeris. Okay, so that explains Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who include Arusa and have no problem with Aimukasitz. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, they excluded the Arusa. My time, where are they coming from? Darshi Hachi, they have a different approach to this pasuk. We begin with the word Velachoisei, Habesula, Pratla Anusa Mufuta, as opposed to Anusa Mufuta, who encountered a man. And also Umukasitz. Oh, here's a chiddush. Even a mukasitz, despite the fact that it was not through a man, she's not a besula, and she's excluded. The word ashaloy hoisa is prat la arusa. It's a mute. We exclude the arusa. The fact is, an arusa was hoisa. She was acquired by somebody, and therefore she's not included in the heter. The word akroiva is coming l'rabbi's arusa shenisgarsha. If she was merely engaged but then got divorced, she's back home, and she's included in the halacha of tuma. The word elav l'rabbi's abegeres, she's also okay. Hakroiva is l'rabbi's. Oh, stop. Ask the Gemara. You need hakroiva to tell you l'rabbi's arusa shenisgarsha. You can. The kash is, how can you say that hakroiva is l'rabbi's arusa shenisgarsha? You're telling me that she was once engaged, and then she got divorced. Then she's okay. She's included in the din. What do you mean? Who's speaking here? Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon just told us that there is a rule of thumb to follow. Ru'i l'kayin gadol mitamala. Only an isha who is fit for a kayin gadol is included in the halacha of tumah. She'ein ru'i l'kayin gadol, but otherwise, for instance, a gerusha, that's the chiddush, even though she was only an arusa, she is garusha. We learned this yesterday, that an arusa, she is garusha, is possible for a kayin. Even a kayin headed, right? A grusha refers to grusha from nisun or erusin, right? So if it's ain ruler kain gadol ain matamala, so how can we say that the sister who's been divorced, fine from erusin, but the fact that she's a grusha, how can she be included in the halacha of tumah? Answers the Gemara: well, we have a pasuk, shani hasan, the Rabbi Rachman, a kreva. The word kreva is included in this case. It wouldn't be something you would figure on your own, but we have a pasuk for it. Yach, if that's the case, if once you're included, include the Mukaseitz Nami. What about her? Don't leave her out. Mukaseitz Nami, Rabbi. As is the Gemara, no, Kreva is singular. Achas, we can only include one. Achas Leshtani. Well, Amarois, then why are you discriminating? Who's to say which one in, which one out? Why is a Mukaseitz worse than the Arusa Shenizgarsh? Answers the Gemara. There's a big difference. Look, Ha is Avad Bamas. Mukas Eitz lived through an experience. There was a masa which changed her step, which changed her physique, right? There was some sort of instrumental interference with her basulam. Hala is avad b'masa, as opposed to narusa, never had that experience, and therefore it's more likely that the arusa is in and the mukas Eitz is out. So you have to pick one over the other. We prefer the arusa shenis ars, who never underwent any physical change. So that's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Arusa. Achoise Arusa. She's still engaged. She's out. She got divorced. Arusa and then it's Garsha she's in, right? And Mukas Eitz is out. Now, what about Rabbi Yossi? So we discussed Rabbi Shimon. What about Rabbi Yossi? You see, it's interesting. They started off together. Look back at the Braisa. We start with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, right? Achoise Arusa is okay. Then we have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon together as a pair. Arusa is not included. And then we have Rabbi Shimon sort of going off on a tangent on his own. Shimon says, Mukas Eitz is not included. Which sounds like Rabbi Yossi didn't go along with that. It was Rabbi Shimon's own independent chiddush. Rabbi Yossi midir shavke bar zuge. It would seem that his companion, Rabbi Shimon, took a turn away from him, left him on his own. It sounds like Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to excluding a mukas eitz. Mechlalda b'mukas eitz, Rabbi Meir severely, rather, he would agree with Rabbi Meir. But a mukas eitz, it's fine. Manali, how does Rabbi Yossi know that a mukas eitz, it's fine? Fact is, she's not a besula. Answers the Gemara, Miloy Haisel Ish. Right, the Pasuk says that only a non-basula as a result of an experience with a man is a problem. Okay, but a Mukas Eitz was never affected by a man? What do you mean? V'ha fikte. Rabbi Yossi himself can't use this drasha of Loy Haisel Ish to include the Mukas Eitz. Just as Rabbi Meir did, because Rabbi Yossi already used Le'Hoysa Le'ish for something else, remember? He already used it to exclude the Arusa. In fact, if she was Hoysa Le'ish, she was acquired by a man, then she doesn't conform. So this pasuk has already been used for that. And says the Gemara, can learn both, Chad min Le'Hoysa v'chad min Le'ish. It says Le'Hoysa Le'ish. Le'Hoysa tells you, as long as she was not acquired by anybody, meaning Arusa is not included, because she's already niskadish by somebody. That's Le'Hoysa. And the word Le'ish is telling you, look, Besulim, which were disrupted through a man, is problematic. But if it's just Mukas Eis, that's okay. Continues the Gemara. What about a Begeris? Elov? L'Rabbi is a Begeris. The word Elov includes the Begeris, even though she's older and her Besulim are lacking. She's included. How could Reb Shimon agree to that? Well, Amar Reb Shimon Besula, Besula B'Shleima Mashmo. In yesterday's daf, we learned that according to Reb Shimon, a Bogeris is unfit for a Kohen Gadol. Sorry, Reb Shimon says that the word Besula means Shleima. Theoretically, the word Besula would indicate a full-fledged Besulim. As opposed to a Begeris who's lacking that. And that's why Reb Shimon needed a special drasha here. That Besuleha, right? That even Miktsas, even the Begeris is okay. So the default assumption is that a Begeris is not considered a proper Besula, right? If Reb Shimon needed a special drasha to allow Kohen Gadol to marry Besula, apparently the default assumption is that a Begeris is lacking in Besulim. So how can he go ahead and say the word Elov is coming to be Marba Begeris is considered a Besula with respect to the halacha of the allowing the Kohen to become tummy for her? Says the Gemara, just the opposite. Taimea, the day, Nami Hasa Mehacha. The reason why Reb Shimon assumed yesterday that the word Besula, the default definition of Besula means full-fledged, as opposed to a Begeris. Why was he assuming so? From this very drush over here. Time of the day, Nami Hosam. His assumption over there, Mehach, was coming from here. Hold on tight. Why? The Darish Hachi. Because of the drush over here. Because we had the drush over here. Mid the Elov of the Rabbis of Begeris. The fact that we need the word Elov. to include by Geras, what does that sound like? What does that indicate to you? That the default assumption is that a Begeris is not included. Right? Why would you need a drasha to include if she's automatically inside? Apparently the default assumption is that she's not inside. Begeris is considered somewhat lacking in the Basula status, right? That's why, it's exactly why you need a love in the parish of the tomb of the Kohen Hedid to be married by the Begeris. No, she's also inside. She's also enough of a Basula. Mechlal, apparently, the Basula, that the definition, the plain meaning of the word Besula, Besula Shlema Mashra, is complete and full and whole, and not a Begeris. So the starting point was how Gemara. We started from here, and then we ended up over there. Meaning, the Pasuk says, Elof. Include a Begeris. Bring her into the fold. Be Metameter. She's also fine. She's also somewhat a Besula. That's the clearest indication that really there's something lacking with her. Oh, so knowing that, we take a look at the Pasuk, Kohen Gadol, who is allowed to marry? Marry a Besula. Besula means, 100%, not a Begeris, who's somewhat lacking. That's been determined, that's already been determined, right? That she's lacking. So the simple meaning, definition of the word Besula means not a Begeris. That's why I need a drasha yesterday, Bibesula, to include Begeris and allow the Kohen Gadol to marry her as well. That's a 1-2-3 step thing. Okay, so in summation, we know that a Kohen is metame to his relatives, to a sister, provided she is achoisa, ya psula, hakroiva, eila, vashaloi, hoisa, leish. All these conditions must be met. We have a machlekes in two cases. What if she was engaged to somebody? What if she's a mukas eitz? In the case of Arusa, Reb Meir, Reb Yudah say, she's included. Rabbi Yisrael Rishim say, excluded. In the case of Mukas Eitz, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael as well say, no harm was done. Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, she's not in Besula, she's not included. All agree in an Anusa or Mafuta, who encountered a man, are not included. Ibai Geras is certainly included, based on the Drasha of the Pesuk. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai Omer. Here comes a chiddush. Although, typically, we suspect that a geyrus, an adult woman who was geyer, had perhaps interacted previously in her pre-Jewish state, interacted with a non-Jew, which makes her a zayna. That's only if she came in above 3 years and a day. But below that age, with the concept of bia doesn't apply. She became a geyrus at that point. There's no grounds for suspicion of znus, and then she's kosher to marry a kohen. Ksheru l'kohuna. That's a chiddush. Shenemar, it's based on a pasuk. By the Muhammad with Midian, they put everybody to death. It says that they kept the youngsters alive. The young women, the young girls, asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, who never interacted with a man as married, hechiyu lochem, keep them alive for yourself. Vari Pinchas imayim. Take a look. And who was there with them? Pinchas, who was a kohen, apparently. The youngsters are unaffected and are not deemed zaynes, can marry even a kohen. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, based on a pasuk. V'rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had another rabban who opposes view. How did they learn this pasuk, which seems to indicate clearly that a youngster is mutter to a kohen? The word hechiyu lachem means lavadam l'shvachais. Can hold on to them as slaves, as maidservants, but not for marriage. In any case, Rabbi Shimon insists, no. If she converted when she was still underage, she's unaffected. Unaffected by your prior experiences. Yachik, that's the case. You see, the Pasuk says, you can hold on to the Nashim. Asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, never interacted with a man. What difference does it make how old they are? You know, if they're adults, if you know for a fact that they are free of that experience, they're a mutter. Why do you set the bar at three in a day? Why is it age related? It's experience related. Answers the Gemara as follows. The answer will be based on Rav Huna. The Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna had an apparent contradiction between two psukim, at the conclusion of which we will see clearly that this halacha is indeed age related. If you're below three in a day, in which case bia doesn't apply to you, you're kasha for a kain. If you're above age, you're pasul for a kain, and it's really irrespective of whether or not they had an experience with a man. It's all age related. That is the sole criterion when determining her eligibility to marry a kain. That's based on a two pasuk arrangement. Firstly, we have a pasuk, siv kol isha yedas ish lemishkav zachar haregu. Go ahead and put to death all the women who engage with men. This implies ha'eino yedas kayemu, which sounds like otherwise, if they didn't interact with a man as married, keep them alive. But the pasuk is focusing on isha, on the older woman. Mechlal da'hataf, apparently the younger kids, younger girls, bein yadu, bein lo yadu, kayemu, whether they did or didn't interact with men, keep them alive. It only applies to the older women. But then we have a pasuk going the other way. Yuxim, v'chalataf banoshim, asher lo yadu mishkav zochei hachi lachem. Youngsters who didn't interact with men, keep them alive. We have a diuk, ho yadi, they didn't interact with a man, harayu, put them to death. Because they're youngsters. So we're selective. But if they're older, then irrelevant. Irrespective of whether they marry, whether they interact with a man, put them to death. So we have a mamash astira. This pasuk indicates one way. By the adults, it matters whether they did or didn't. By youngsters, it doesn't matter. And then we have the second pasuk. Only by the youngsters, it matters. Whether they did interact or didn't. But by the older ones, it's irrespective of their experiences, they're put to death. So which way do you go? There's only one way to reconcile this. It has nothing to do with the experience. It has to do with one thing. Potential. Age-related. If they're age-enabled for interaction with a man, harayigu. They're already connected. They identify with you. Goyish men, it's not for you. But if they're underage, below three in a day, in which case they're not even potential candidates for physical interaction with you, goyim, in that case, it doesn't matter whether they did or they didn't. Halachically speaking, they're free and they're clean. Unaffected. Havi Omer, the only possible conclusion is as follows. We're not speaking about actual experiences, we're speaking about potential. And it's all age-related. This supports Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Underage is safe. Tani Nami Hachi, we find the same in a Braisa. On the pasuk of Chol Isha Yedas Ish Beruyi Liboy Lachasim Medaber, although it says the Isha Yedas Ish, which sounds like there was das means chibur, means interaction with a man, doesn't mean that. It means Beruyi Liboy Lachasim Medaber, an Isha who has potential for that. And that is being referred to here. Ato Eimer Beruyi Boil, you suggesting it's all a matter of potential and age. Perhaps no, it's literally. Elo Nivala Mamash, it means the actual experience. Kishu Eimer. You have the other pasuk which seems to contradict. Only the youngsters. Ashala Yadu Mishkav Zachar. Only in that case are we selective, are we concerned about whether or not they interacted. But the older ones always put to death. That's a stereo contradiction between the psukim. Avi Eimer, the only way to reconcile is. It's all a matter of age and potential. Below age, they're okay. Above three in a day, they're excluded. And this is the writer of Shimon ben Yochai. If you're underage, you're unaffected. If you join the fold, you join the community, you're misgayer. Below three in a day, you're presumed to be kosher, you can marry a kohen. Now, how would they know? This is back to the Milchama of Midian. How would they verify the age of the women? Manayadi, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Bizna, through Anais, Amar Rav Shimon, Chasida, Hevirum of Nei Tzitz. They lined them up in front of the Tzitz, one of the Bidei Kehuna, which had supernatural powers, and they took a look at the women as they were filing by. Kol Sheponeo Moirikos, if her face turned into some sort of green complexion. Biyadua shehirui liboil. Apparently, she's above age. Kol she'ein paneh marikos. She doesn't have that complexion. Biyadua she'ein rui liboil. Apparently, she's underage. Amar Nachman, on this topic, simon lavira, an indication, which indicates a person's involvement with immoral activities, is hadroikon. If he experiences this illness, Rashi says, Panein shall ivre avira marikan, they get this hadroikon illness, which generates this green complexion. Kayaitse bedavar ta'imer. Just as they did this miraculous determination in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, in similar fashion, we find elsewhere in Tanakh, they were faced with a similar dilemma, and they had to employ some sort of a verification mechanism to figure it out. Vayimtzu miyoshve yovesh gilod arba meyos nara basula. So this was the time of the Melchama with Bnei Binyamin, due to the Pelegish Begiva, shameful incident where they overlooked how one of theirs abused this woman, who ended up passing away, and they went to war with them. And the people of Yavesh Gilad refused to join the rest of Klal Yisrael, and they were punished severely. And the Pasuk says that they put them to death except for 400 Nara Besula, Asher Lo Yadu Ish L'Mishkav Zachar, who never interacted with a man. And they were sort of matched up with the remnants of the Shevet Binyamin to keep the Shevet alive. But no Yadi, how would they know whether or not these women interacted with men? Whether or not they were Besula or Be'ula or Rav Kahana? They did as follows. Yeshivum Al Pi Chavet, they would place them on a barrel of wine, Shal Yayin, and they would examine their mouth and see if there was any wine odor exuding forth. Be'ula, if she was previously engaged with a man, Reicha Noidev, so her guf was a bit open, so the scent would go through from the bottom all the way through the top and out of her mouth, and they would discern that Reach. Besula, as opposed to an Isha, his guf was still closed up, Ein Reicha Noidev, this scent would not exude forth. This was a simon to determine who was whom. Asked Gemara, why do you need to do this? It's a little bit shameful, inappropriate, and perhaps unbecoming. Why don't you just do the tzitz? V'nav rinu l'fnei tzitz, as you did with the Midian women. Amar Rav Kahana, Berei Rav Nosson, here had a different ramification. Here it was in a negative context. L'ratzon lahem ksiv, the tzitz is meant to exude forth and generate goodwill, l'ratzon v'lo l'puranus, not to generate tragic results and putting people to death. If that's the case, then how could you use it in the midbar, b'midyan nami, by the goyim there? How could you use the tzitz to bring about tragedy and putting people to death? Amar Rav Ashi, there's no concern because it was non-Jews. Lahem ksiv. It said l'ratzon lahem. Lahem l'ratzon. When it comes to Bnei Yisrael, it needs to be something that generates goodwill, not otherwise. V'lei l'peronus, right? Ulo avdei kechavim, when it comes to the avdei kechavim, in that case, we're not concerned, afilu l'peronus, even in a negative context, can it be used? Getting back to the Ikar Halacha, Omar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Omar Rabbi Shoma Levi, so he quotes Rabbi Shoma Levi to the effect of, Halacha k'Rab Shim Ben Yochai, a geyer is underage as kosher for a coin. Amalei Rab Zera l'Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Tell me, did you hear Rabbi Shimon Levi directly or indirectly? Beferush Shmielach, was it an explicit ruling in favor of Rabbi Shimon Yechai? Or Mechlola Shmielach, was it just inferred and implied indirectly from something that you heard? My Klola, which other type of inference, which story perhaps could he have heard it from? Don Rabbi Shimon Levi, because we know Rabbi Shimon Levi actually spoke about a story as follows. Irachas Hoizabetz Yisrael, regarding a certain city in Yisrael, Shekara Ala Ira. There were some bad rumors circulating about families in this city. They said there's something wrong, they're unfit for kahuna. Vishige Rebbe. Rebbe sent an emissary to investigate. That's Rebbe, who did he send? That's Rebbe Roimnus. Ubatkan, he checked out the city, the family. And what did he find? He discovered as follows. He found like this. There was a family that hailed from a a convert, a girl who converted, underage. Pchusa mechpas shalashanim yamechad. That was the extent of the story. And this generated the rumors that there's something wrong. And Rebbe heard the background of the story. V'chshira Rebbe l'kuhuna. Rebbe says she's perfectly fit. The family is fine. So either we're speaking about the girl herself or the descendants. In any case, the point is that he confirmed the chiddush presented by Rebbe Shimon Yochai that an underage geyeris is unaffected. She's not a zoyna. So that perhaps is a story that would have generated this impression that Rebbe Shimon Levi holds like Rebbe Shimon Yochai. Right? So that was the question that Rebbe Zera asked Rebbe Yaakov Ariti. Did you hear it directly or indirectly? Perhaps you inferred from this story, right? That was the question. Amalei says, no, beferish mieli. I heard it directly. It was explicitly told to me. It wasn't just a story. What's wrong with the story? It's just as good. If it would have been inferred from the story, what would have been wrong? Says the Gemara, no, perhaps you can, you know, a story can be fanfared. You can interpret a story differently. It's not a clear-cut halach. It's a story. There are 10 ways to interpret a story. Dil Mashani Hasa, perhaps in that case it's different because it was b'diavad. Look, it was after the fact. Hoyl v'insiv, she already married, she just leave her there. But l'chatchila, who's to say this will be mutter? As we find that sometimes we're lenient when it comes to after the fact. The harav, Rabbi Yechanan, we have that halacha mentioned all the way back in the beginning of our daf today. Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, the Amritabai, they both tell us, Abay Geras, Amukha says, it's not meant to marry a kain, right? Lo Yisa, but b'diavad. It holds up. Apparently, after the fact, is different. What do you mean? How do you compare the two things? How could you compare? In the case of the Bergeris Mukaseit, we already explained that halacha. It's not just after the fact you leave it. The reason why we're lenient over there, we take a different approach, is because it would have happened in any case. He married a Bergeris. He married a Mukaseit who's lacking in the psulim. It would have happened anyways. Under his care. Hasam Seifali is Begeris Tachtav. Seifali is Bula Tachtav. Right? As we explained earlier. And therefore, with the Evid, you can't force her out. But in the case of the Geiris, here it's in the context of a Zoyna, right? That's the factor we're dealing with, the Zoyna factor. That would have never happened under his care. Hacha Seif Aliyah Zoyna Tachtov? Why in the world would she be a Zoyna after marriage? So the Evid factor plays absolutely no role here. So bottom line is, we have a story. Rebbe was Machsher. Who cares that it was B'di Evid? That wouldn't make any difference. If she's a Zoyna, she has to leave right away. Apparently, he was like Rabbi Shimon Yochai. She converted underage. There's no Zayna concern. She's perfectly fine. Even L'chatchil. Rav Safra Maslo Miklol. In fact, Rav Safra also derived this halach from the inference, from the story. V'kashile. Then he had a kash. What do you mean? Maybe over there it's different because it's after the fact. Mishani Le'achin. He answered the same terrace that we said. Well, for Zayna concerns, after and before is the same thing. Apparently, there's no concern. But we end up with a story. A story as follows. Ahu Kahana. An incident involving this kain. The incident of Geyeris Pchusim Basholoshanav Yamechad. He went ahead and he married this type of Geyeris who joined Klal Yisrael underage. Figuring she's okay. Amar Lehir of Nachem Bar Yitzchak. My, hi, what are you doing? Amar Leis, he says, what do you mean? Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rishon Ben Levi, Halacha, Kereb Shimber Yechai. That's how we paskin. It's okay. Apparently, Rachman Bar Yitzchak disagrees. He says, Amar Le, no way. Zil Apik, go ahead and divorce. V'loy, otherwise, you don't listen, I'll put you in Cherem. And he used a very strong term. Ma'afik melach Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi mi'unach. Where are you coming from? You're basing it on Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi? I'm going to pull him out of your ears. The Aruch says, he means to say, I'm going to force you to turn away from that Shita. To stop listening when your ears stop heeding and listening to that Shita. Clearly, he disagreed with Rav Shimon Yochai, Paskin like the other Shitas, that a Geiris, in all cases, all circumstances, is not fit to marry a Kohen. So, what did we learn today? An Almana, a Grusha, should not marry a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol has to marry only a Besula. What about anusas atzmai, mefutas atzmai? She lost her besulim due to her interaction with him himself. Still, she's not a besula, he shouldn't be marrying her. But the Yevet, he can hold on to her. And as far as we just said, is because that would have happened regardless. But if it was through another person, that's a different story. She's tainted, she's affected, he can't marry her, even b'diavad. A child from that situation, according to Rabbanan, is not a halal, because it's only chayav yaseh. We have the word eila. Halal is not generated from this type of match. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, even in this case, it is a halal. Pasuk says, a kohen hedid can become tummy to tend to his sister, achoysay apsula, akroiva eila, v'ashaloy hoysel ish, lo yitama. So if she's a non-basula, because she's anusa, mafuta, she's included. She's only a begeris, we include her based on a drasha, an arusa is a machlaikis, and likewise a mukazetz. Shimer echai is machadish. Although typically a geyeris is considered a zona pertaining to marrying a kohen, but if she's underage, she came into the fold before she even had a potential of interacting with a goy as married, she's considered a non-zona, perfectly suitable for a kohen. We have a machlaikis, of course, and we ended with a story that seemed to oppose this halacha. We discussed two ways how they determine the status of the nashim, either by way of the tzitz, or by way of that chaviz shadyayin. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rabbah.